We are still in one piece, yes? Let's just sit down and take a load off. Now, just chit-chatting here. Just want to chit-chat with you, eh? Isn't that what you call it? Chitty-chat? Chit-chitty? Talk, engage. Just... you contemplate any time today what I told you last night about what I wanted you to put on your mirror? How many of you contemplated that? So be it. There is a reluctance, if you will, to teach certain knowledge because there is always the choice as the crossroads on teaching certain knowledge that you can educate the student as to what the knowledge is. But there is, how do I say this in your terms? There is a risk, as it were, that that knowledge will not be utilized and simply made into another belief system that starts the process of misinformation. Because all knowledge that is unknown to all of you, you know, its introduction is only in words and symbols that you can comprehend a possibility. But the actual experience of such knowledge is far greater than the methodology used in describing it. For example, you know, it's one thing to talk about love. Love this, you love that. But it's a way of endearment, as it were. Indeed, it's a fashion of expressing endearment. But until you know what it actually is and become it, then you realize that the way that you used the word before was an overuse of a classical unknown used in common endearment. And what I'm endeavoring to say here is that there is much more. That's only a word. But it's supposed to point to an experience. And you're supposed to have the experience. But if you don't have the experience, you run the risk of taking certain knowledge and carving it up and passing it down, and each person carves off a little more. And what it becomes is it becomes a common philosophy that has lost the signpost pointing to something that will be much more dynamic than just memorizing words. So perhaps that doesn't, that's, you know, something flew over your head. When great experiences are planned for by a teacher, for that teacher student or students. There has to be a methodical working of knowledge up here that's based upon some fundamental experiences that give pictures, so that pictures begin the process of collapsing reality, and the pictures are formed in such a way as to clear away, to part the ocean, so that the teacher can then use the wisdom of previous teachings called truth, in which to set the stage for a grand, fabulous experience. And if the students reserve, like shutting off the projector in their brain, these pictures, we won't have a manifested reality, but what we will have is another teaching that has simply been put into your brain in a closed room that you talk about as possibilities that may happen sometime. But the danger I want you to understand, and the risk involved here, is that when you set it up that way, it becomes so common that only those associated pictures manifest and not the true experience of what the teacher is endeavoring to manifest for you. How many of you understand that? So there's pollution involved, and there is a hesitancy to add to an already building lot of possibilities that have reluctantly not been engaged with by the student. So I should inspire you to wonder about this. And indeed, I should inspire you to say to yourself, I was able to manifest the things I really wanted, or the things I needed. And sometimes I just undercut everything and just did it mass to mass. And my teacher has taught me, and the school has taught me, that everything is relatively the same energy and the same consciousness. To walk through that wall, to teleport, to manifest whatever you want, takes the same energy that it does to do the things that you're quick to get. Now, I would like to inspire into you a wonder about that, because I see more and more and more how less and less and less you're using what you came here to learn to do. I wonder why. Don't you? Don't you? There is a power that is brought forth in the power of the entity to seamlessly move timelines with their mind. That power is the substance that is going to create the shift in that timeline to allow you to get what you want. And why is it important to say that? Is because many people think that if they just sit and wish, that that's all they need to do is sit and wish. Then that would, according to the teachings, that would undermine the whole purpose of us being here as beings created by God to evolve in the void, to make known the unknown. You know, in a resting state, God is changing. That's the resting state. And I have thought about how you use certain frames of thinking to undermine your own prosperity and to undermine your own health, to undermine your own possible cure, to undermine your own possible happiness. And one of the ways that you do that is that you think wishing and wanting is the way you'll get it done. That somehow this meteor is going to fall into your living room and there it is. It's going to be everything you wanted. But that isn't how it works. And I see, and I am endeavoring to show you how many of you use that as a way to undermine the power of consciousness and energy that you learn to already use, you already are, but how to expand it and indeed become a true master. And I saw your dependence more and more and more on how you could plot and plan. And less on creating the proper teaching, understanding that that focus is creating reality by shifting timelines. And that by shifting timelines, when you get out of that focus, you belong. Which timeline do you belong? Do you belong to the one in which you became analogically, that distinct thing you were working on, or that event you were working on, or indeed that health you were working on? So the moment you get up from it, you have two paths. You either get up maintaining that conversion state that moved from the past timeline that had the lack in it, that was the timeline that you started doing the discipline, and when you succeeded analogically, you seamlessly were analogically now in a timeline in which that one thing is now included in the people, places, things, times, and events of your current life. So what do? You get up, maintain that analogical day. Do you live in that timeline? Or do you get up and say, so be it, and then get back into your routine? So you created a new timeline, that thing, that health, that what do humans want? Freedom from disease. That freedom from ignorance. That absolute elsewhere. That opportunity, that miraculous something, whatever it is that you work on, as it were. Because when you're analogically it, you're in a timeline of it. But you slip back to the other timeline where it's something you want and is it in your life. Now, why do you do that? And you do it more and more and more. What I just explained to you is higher knowledge. Is higher knowledge on how true miracles happen. It's not that they appear out of nothing and become something. If you're observing it out of the reality of someone else, it will appear that way. But in reality, it already exists in your life in a time frame. So we shove in the slideshow, and suddenly what was not possible yesterday is now the probable, the life in quantum physics and in timelines. So that brings us to a very interesting question. How many opportunities are waiting? How many different timelines are waiting for you to have experiences in? And it's a higher knowledge that transcends coming and going, as it were. It's not about the lower knowledge that if you do this, this will manifest in your life. That's an introductory knowledge that if you do this, it's going to happen. That you'll bump into it, or someone will come and give you a zillion buckles. It's not that anymore. It's a higher knowledge that says, in order to be a part of this abundant timeline shifting, you and the burden of having that happen falls squarely on your own shoulders and on your own mind. And every individual, it falls squarely in their own mind to understand that if we want to put it in such simple terms, we have a job to do. And our job is to, in this small little mind, to become a big one. And we don't have to do it by stretching out a rubber band. Do you know how fast 200 years can fly if you know how to quantum shift reality? Think of the possibilities. Turn to your neighbor and tell them just what you've heard so far from this chit-chat. You may begin. Now, how many of you understood that? Did you understand that? And understanding, well, we have some precious truth that allows us to reach to that vividness in our brain. We begin to see how evolution is shifts in timelines, seamless shifts. And we also begin to understand that the responsibility of those are not haphazard in our life, unless, of course, we agree on social consciousness. We begin to see how the interactions and timelines work in social consciousness. Of course, how it works in all species through morphogenic fields. It's timelines that instantly bring change to a species that the day before wasn't there. Instantly. Now, I bring this up because there are lots of realities that I have never told you about. Indeed, I have not even hinted at them because it serves no purpose to do so. It has served great purpose in understanding that the possibility of what you can do based on the precious truth you've learned here, you've had these experiences, that you understand the concept, analogical mind. You understand the concept of moving energy to the brain. You understand rudimentarily that you have to transcend your personality, and that is what you master to become the object in which you wish to have an experience with, which in turn brings the timeline in where that object, because you are it analogically, is now part of your timeline. You have had enough experiences to understand that analogical mind, everyone here has experienced. And so it isn't something in our nature that we should say, well, do I make that timeline happen? If I'm wanting this, what do I go after, the timeline or this? And I would say that in common logic, it's not a timeline you go after. It's change. It's the experience of those things that you want that bring with it that timeline. And yet, in the analogical pursuit of overcoming a catastrophic disease and fighting that and getting into your mind in a state of wellness, fighting the pain to get to that place is equal to fighting complacency to get to that place. And yet, when we become it, it is by that command that the timeline will shift, in which day after day after day we will get well and weller and wellest and well-forward. Every day become progressive because it's the timeline. Don't you see? How many of you understand that? Now, this is what ponders me all. That cards ask you to make about what do you believe in? And believe in, let's just say it for what it is. Belief are a collection of possibilities that have never been pursued to their eventual experience and timeline. And whatever we think the thing will do to us is only on this side of the timeline's definition. When we're in the timeline, it will be nothing like we thought it was. It will be more beautiful. It will be different. And yet, you know, you have a collection of personal beliefs inspired by the dreams in this great and august school that have not been pursued. And I asked you why. And I wanted you to ask yourself why. And this then is the logic for not introducing other teachings, because of all the mysteries that you are able to do, able to turn into a blue body, you're able to disappear and go into quanticized self, to visit the kingdom of light, to visit the planes, to visit people that have gone before you, your relatives, your friends that have passed over, have communion with them. The ability to shift from one locale to a different locale. The ability to do that. The ability to leave your body at will, take your body with you. Matter of choice. And you know, people who did these things were called saints, remarkable people. Now, if they weren't particularly Christian, they were called demons and witches. But if they were Christian, they were saints. So choose your side, whatever you want to call it. They had the same ability. And that ability was, it's because they had one dynamic gift in their favor. They were possessed of the desire to be it. And they had the focus. So, less and less do you use what I have taught you. More and more are you recoding, as it were, your past self. You are using less of this, and depending upon your own initiatives. And I wanted you to ask yourself why you have not pursued these dreams. And I gave some hints, and probably a lot of that is that in sliding reality timelines, some of these things take you out of the orbit of current people, places, things, times, and events. And there may be a subconscious lockdown on doing that for whatever reconstituted reason you stay the same. The holiness of your energy, to many of you, is left you. I mean, it grew fainter and fainter and fainter. And all that meant was, is the profound ability in that mind to create and to shift was so dynamic in some people's bands in this audience at one point that they could do anything. And it took a lot of teaching, took a lot of channeling, took a lot of in this room and out in that field, early morning, late at night, a lot of powerful inspiration to get them to that radiant light, that radiant power around them. And it's getting dim. It's getting dim. And that basically means you're consuming your lifeline. You know, you're consuming your energy. It's you're living every day. The clock's turning. Do you understand? And you're losing it. Not all of you, some of you. Now, some would say that that's the fault of the teacher. No, reality sits squarely in your brain. Will squarely your divine right. It's the mechanism that you need to change and evolve to make wonderful, to make wonderment. No, not at all. And especially a group of people who have seen miraculous things happen in this school and have been a part of them yourself. It is not the teacher. Because I have not robbed you of your will, it's not my place to do that. It's my place to lead you, teach you, engage you, inspire you, love you. And set an example. Well, I thought you ought to know that. And I thought you ought to also understand that a collection of knowledge does not make you wise. Just because you can say it does not make you wise. You can have the most fantastic memory and memorize everything and quote it inside out, backwards and forwards. Doesn't make you wise. Makes you a smart aleck. Because espousing words doesn't change anything. Because the realities that I talk about are not the way you use the words. Not in this reality. Not in this timeline. So truly wise beings are ones who have been them and are them. They are the wise ones. So no matter how much knowledge you collect and you need it, it's a prerequisite to begin the process of making known the unknown just by collecting it without doing anything does not make you a spiritual person. It does not make you an advanced student. It does not mean that you're more masterful because you can say this stuff. Because these words are nothing. The real something is that power of being. And we have to be careful how we treat great knowledge. And somehow we don't lock it away, prevent its use, and undermine it in the telling of it. I have to be careful. Because there may come an hour when you're going to want to remember what you learned here. You know, you're going to need help. You may need it. And you know that you are in peril, or you are in danger, or you lost, and you're on a timeline like a freight train coming right to that destiny. And then you're going to understand that there is another timeline in which this is not going to happen. This collision will not happen. But the problem arises that in that split second, or in those hours, or those couple of days, when only choice you have left is what you learned here, and you put it in your brain and you try blowing out that mechanism, problem is that you made it sticky in this reality, and there will not be a sense of security. And indeed a sense of hope in you, because somehow you do not have the magic, as it were, because you ate away at it and you locked it away. And now you have to call it to perform it, and it won't be there. Passion to put those hands in the C and E position and blow like the wind. I don't know if you'll believe in yourself enough to do that. Turn to your neighbor and tell them what you understand so far. Now, many years ago in your time in the school, we created an event, actually, we created a day in which I took the students into their future, to the day they were supposed to die. Yes. How many of you recall that teaching? So be it. It was a long, lengthy journey. And there was reasons, many reasons, why it was long and lengthy. First, it was an actual journey. Was in a journey into the mind of God and dropping in on some future time that student dropping right into a room and opening the door would come upon a scene in their future prison. And there they would see how they would perish. Or an incident. And I taught them how to leave a talisman there. Well, that's, in reflection, extraordinary teaching for the obvious and for the not so obvious, who are actually switching timelines forward, dropping in on this timeline in the present. And we visited them. We visited the future. Are you with me?
Yes.
We visited the future. And we went to a place, saw what we needed to see, and we left a talisman there. And we did that so that when that future day appeared, we have this heavy deja vu happening. And that the end of your life was avoided that day. Accident was avoided that day. And there was a bright light, like lightning out of nowhere, that enters the scene. Someone describe it as a ball of blue light, others like lightning out of nowhere into the scene. And then there's the talisman. Now, what is unappreciated about that is that the moment that lightning was seen, or that blue streak was seen, that was you back then who had just left the present future and changed that reality. Turn to your neighbor and explain it. Now, the ability to teach a class to take those kinds of journeys, or where we would go, what we would come across, how we set up a future present, are unlimited to me. And the ability to do that, because I've been those things, I know how to show you to do it. But it takes passion without degrading the knowledge to take the journey, throwing your mind up river, visiting future now, and all sorts of parallel realities. How many of you who went through that discipline came upon that experience finally someday in the future when you rearranged that day? How many of you got that? How many of you saw that flash of light or that talisman? Raise your hands. That was you just leaving to go back to the day we visited it. You just left as you arrived. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. Wow! I say too that I want and created also in the future now. We'll have that discipline in it. We'll have that. You'll be taught how to do that again. It all comes about coming to the reckoning of how small the box of your doingness is compared to possibilities of greatness and what you can do. But you must be in a place to where you want to do it and you want to go. And that there is no thing in you that has destroyed its virtue, its possibility. And that is one of the great reasons we are not back on the field any of recent times, because the work in the school these declining days had really been about the hidden self and the hidden layers of self. Each neural net is its own person. And then you have all of those voices that you become and you wear. It was important to take those journeys as painful, as suffering, as challenging as all of that was, is painful in the aspect that if you are red in the rainbow, you are the only color, the only color you don't see is red, because you are it. And until a whole host of voices will reveal to you could never see them in yourself. And not really understanding where that neural net and that composite of emotions to thinking to doing was really leading you. And how much life it was eating away, vitality, and in upholding those standards that were not written in stone anywhere. And there is nothing around your neck that says you have to be them. And it's not a fine excuse to have said, well, that is the way that I am. You are? That's it. No hope. We can't be any different than what we are. We have no capacity to reason ourselves into greatness. It was absolutely necessary. And very, very little use of the field and a lot of use of wine and lots of music. Everything that set the scene. Bring all this out in you and let you see it. Because it's yours, and you dispose of it, and everyone knows how to do that. It's not like, you know, we're condemned to a destiny. Our God loves us. There are so many planets you haven't seen. There are so many possibilities of this world you have yet to live in, live on, been to. Timelines explored backwards and forwards. I mean, there's so much to do. There's so much that you can become. It's necessary to own these small and yet important aspects of yourself. And nothing is bad, as it were, because there is nothing that prevents us into eternity. There are aspects that we cling to that will doggedly pursue us as we are the center of that reality, and it all is orbiting around us. No matter where we go, no matter how many times we die and we're reborn, is necessary so you could be reborn in this life. Not in the Christian use of the term, an actual greater mind capacity, greater value of life. So the field was let alone. The labyrinth is let alone. A lot of precious, precious and divine disciplines were let alone during this process. Because I don't want, and neither should you, that holy field out there, you know, be scattered with the dead mules of your complacency and your doubt and your lack, and that its power is that when you walk on the field, you walk into another time, and the energy of the earth and the hauntings on that field, they heal you, they uplift you, they free you. They shouldn't be stained. The journey of the labyrinth, you know, I used to tell tell everyone this to get them inspired, you know, which was good in some aspects. I used to say to them, what would you do in an earthquake and you were dislocated and you couldn't find your place and you couldn't find yourself driving on the highways and byways? Well, you put your hands up and focus on your house and start walking. And it'll probably help if you put your blindfolds on. Everyone laughed, but the value of that reality, that is absolutely true. And there were calls from some students who were in an earthquake that used that methodology because they were there those days that I told them that. And they did that. And they walked right out of the midst of the earthquake happening and went to their homes without getting hurt or burnt or anything happening to them because they had a clear line of destiny. Their mind was already in their home and their body was being pulled to it. So nothing's going to happen in that line that we have created. Do you recall those days? How many of you recall those days? Truth holds still to this day. So I will come back to what I began this little session with. And that is those possibilities that are beliefs. To believe in them. And I'm just sort of waiting for you to inspire yourself to start taking one or more of them on. And especially in understanding that in order for that timeline shift to have that experience occur, it won't be the word that will occur. And it won't even be the image in your brain. Because the image in your brain is made prior to the experience. So it's based on old timelines, not the new one. Just remember this when you take them on. You don't have to do anything except forget everything you know and become. Just like you have been taught in CNE and the power of analogical mind, you must become it utterly. And then the moment that you move back out of it and you lift those blindfolds up, it's a crucial thing about to happen. Do you know what it is? You're either going to get up and be in the timeline in which that analogical moment and you are meant to share. You're either going to get up and you're going to walk through that day as you are living in a new timeline, or you're going to get up, pull off those blindfolds, and step back out of it, back into the timeline that you engaged prior to going there. And that analogical moment is not going to happen in your former timeline. It'll only happen in this one. How many of you understand that now? So then your question would be, well, how do you know if you're staying in the timeline? You'll know. Because there is a bedazzlement that occurs. There is a knowingness. There is an isness that is now that. And you'll know. And that manifestation will happen. Because it's in that timeline. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the process. If you decide to take any of these things on that you believe in, they begin. How many of you understand it now? How many of you understand how easy it is to do it? Now that calls for a toast. How beautiful we are. How magical we are. We are unversed poetry. We are unlimited in our capacity to dream. How beautiful God has made us. How beautiful this life God has granted us. What divine poetry we are in the musings and in the mind of God. What lovely, lovely creatures we are. We are children of the stars. Stardust runs in our veins. We are part and parcel to a greater poetry of humanity in the far-flung reaches of space. And we are all connected by that creative value called God, that song in which we are the notes of all harmony. And in a moment so precious, so divine are we, we can dance with angels, we can commune with forgotten people. We can know, and we are gladdened in our soul for wanting to know what beautiful people we are, and you most certainly are. And to the glory of God, in which our life symbolizes that beautiful Creator. To life. Forever. And ever. And ever. So be it. How many of you are learning so far? I'm still a guest speaker tonight, you know that. Body's a little wobbly here. We're just barely here. Now, there is one other little chit-chat I want to chit-chat to you about. And that is an aspect of becoming that, if seen in this light, seen in this description, brings together, brings together a are barely here. Brings together a tying up of a way to become that mythical, mystical, very common word that I always talked about. Become, become, overcome, overcome until you become. And then there's some great description here. In the power of pretense, power of pretense, you know what that means? Power of pretense? Or imitation. That we can take the pure rustic logic of all of the cadre of voices in your head. And like I said just a few moments ago in your time, I said, you know, each one of your neural nets is a whole personality within itself in which you wear, and you know you wear them. How many of you understand that? Push the buttons, you know, and there you are, you're on. And you don't look like anything like you were before. Well, if we take that logic and see fundamental how sound that is in our nature, that the whole person is actually made up of individual segments of neural nets connected to emotions, and that we use those in which to display ourselves. Some people are very limited. They're very single-minded. They're very whatever they very are. And there's not a lot of variation in their variness. And you know, so when we talk about becoming and rising up from that moment of analogical creation, taking on one of these beliefs, and you rise up and you're holding that timeline. Well, let me approach that also with this analogy, pretense. Now, we could have a whole lot of argument about, you know, someone getting off of their pallet and walking. Get up, pick up your pallet and walk. Well, you know, how did that master make that person walk? Well, we're starting to get some insights into the very common ability that everyone here has. Master had called forth a timeline and said, now you get up and you walk. Because in the master's mind, that timeline had been called in. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, in commanding "it is so" to someone, it's a powerful ability, and masters and great leaders have that ability. And they have the ability to change reality in such ways that they could command a cripple to get up and walk. And so startle is the commandment, and so powerful is the timeline brought on with that commandment, that startled people now become that command in their brain. Are you with me? How many of you understand? And so, I mean, they just got bossed into walking. They just, yes, sir. Now,